Welcome to the Not Just a Lawyer podcast. This is episode 10. I'm recording it on Ngunnawal country, and I'd like to pay my respects to elders past and present. Now, you might be interested to know that I'm actually recording from my car, which is parked near the Goulburn Courthouse. But I know that I'm on Ngunnawal country because I've got this excellent app on my phone. It's called Welcome to Country. And while you travel around Australia, it tells you who the traditional custodians are of the land that you are on. It's excellent. I'm really passionate to talk to you today about a topic that is not really about being a lawyer at all, because as you know, I am not just a lawyer. Allegedly, I am also a human. So today I am very excited to give you a brief taster on the topic of sleep. So on episode 10, I'm talking to you about sleep, and it's very important that you will have already noticed I am not a doctor. Well, maybe I could be. I've told you I'm not just a lawyer. I haven't told you what else I am, except for alleging and asking that you believe that I'm a human. But no, I'm not a doctor. But I'm really passionate about sleep, and here's why. I don't know when, but for pretty much as long as I can remember during my adulthood, I have always been really, really tired, and I thought it was normal. I can remember as far back as 2006 or 7 just feeling so tired at a family event that I wanted to go into the car and sleep. And when I couldn't, I really just wanted to have an adult tantrum and cry. And I don't want to do that, so I held it in. But I just remember, for as long as I can remember in my adulthood, being incredibly tired. When I started working full-time as a lawyer, I remember around about 2008, 2009, I remember most weekends I would spend just sleeping. For a lot of the time, taking a lot of naps and just feeling generally exhausted. And I also remember outside of work hours, I did start karate training eventually, which was amazing. I did that a couple of nights a week. But for the other nights, pretty much all I wanted to do was watch videos and sleep. And then around about that same time, I found that I was having so much trouble switching my brain off and being able to sleep that I started trying to rely on hypnotherapy podcasts and recordings on YouTube, and also meditation recordings to try and talk me off to sleep, because sleep was just something that I seemed unable to get enough of. And this continued for a while. Every now and then it would sort of calm down a little bit, but then it would peak again. I also found I was getting recurrent nightmares because I have had a few interesting things happen in my past. So sometimes I would have nightmares about those, and just generally the issue of sleep was very, very fraught for me. I had a massive period of exhaustion during 2012. I was really killing it at work, like doing excellent billable hours, getting good outcomes, very much pleasing my employer and the clients. So it wasn't impacting my work, but I just felt like shit all the time. So I went to see a GP. I have an excellent GP, but I just saw a different one because my normal GP wasn't there that day. And this doctor suggested that I have a sleep apnea test. This was in 2012. And I thought, oh, that seems pretty unlikely. Surely I'd know if I had sleep apnea. So I went into a sleep lab, had a test done, and even though I was hooked up to goodness knows how many monitors with those little oxygen prongs stuck up my nostrils, and things taped to my lips and body, I, for some reason, had the most amazing restful sleep that I'd had in a really long time. So I actually woke up feeling great, unlike usual when I would wake up feeling like crap. And so the test didn't record any sleep apnea. It just very not tactfully resulted in someone asking me, "Do you realize you snore?" And at the time I was like, "Well, thanks for pointing out my singledom. Way to make a gal feel awesome." But no, the test didn't find any sleep apnea, just really ongoing loud snoring. So because I was so exhausted, I was doing the right thing by getting other investigations done, and it was found that I had really low levels of vitamin D at the time. So since then I've been supplementing, and they're pretty good. I'll just go on a brief tangent about vitamin D. Most people who work in offices don't get enough vitamin D. It's stored in your fat. Your body uses it. If you don't build up your reserves in summer, then you don't have it for the winter. If you wear a lot of sunscreen, long sleeves and hats like I do, and I think like a lot of people do, you just don't build up your reserves in summer for winter. So, I don't know, consider supplementing. But that's not really the point of this story. The point is, a potential plausible reason for my fatigue was found, so I started supplementing. I, since then, have always felt pretty tired, but I often toyed with the idea that maybe I just had a fluke excellent sleep during the sleep apnea test. But I would sometimes do those online questions about somnolence, how tired you are, how easy it is for you to fall asleep during the day. And I never really ticked all the boxes for those. So I thought, it's probably not the case. By chance, towards the end of 2019, I must have been feeling really tired. I went to my chemist to get something else attended to, and I noticed that they had sleep apnea tests that you could just take home and do. And I thought, well, why not? And you might be thinking, what makes a person think that that's a good idea? What would prompt someone to do that? Well, let me tell you, I sometimes would need to take naps in my car if I was driving places for work. I often dreamt of going and having a nap in my car during my lunch break, but that wasn't really feasible. So just rest assured that I was always feeling pretty fatigued, which is what prompted me to go and talk to the chemist about this. So I actually took one of the sleep apnea tests home. I checked online about whether they're valid or not, and they've got good levels of validation. Your mileage may vary as to which chemist you use and what product they use. I'm not going to plug any particular one, but I will say that I believe that the results were valid because I looked into it. Anyway, it takes about 3 weeks to get your results back. The test itself is really easy, I think anyway. Some people might find it a bit harder, but basically you just put this elastic strap around your chest, you put these little prongies in your nose, and you wear, I can't think of the right word, but the little clippy thing on your finger that tells you what your oxygen saturation is. All right, so it's pretty straightforward. I think a lot of people would find that intrusive and uncomfortable, and it might affect their sleep. But for me, I've had to be in hospital a few times for different things where I've had those oxygen prongs in the nose and all that. So having something on my face like that, it really wasn't a bother. So in short, I got the results 3 weeks later. I was absolutely gobsmacked at them. I did a bunch of hysterical nervous laughing because I was so incredibly shocked. I can't remember off the top of my head how many times I had woken up during that night, but I can tell you that my oxygen saturation had got down to 68%, which is absolutely nuts. I hadn't felt like that night had represented a bad sleep. It was completely normal for me. So to find out that I was waking up like hundreds of times during the night and I had no idea, and that my oxygen levels were dropping so seriously, was an absolute shock. So as I said, yes, crazy nervous laughter at the chemist. I was diagnosed with that test as having severe obstructive sleep apnea. And I want to tell you, I had no effing idea. I just knew I was tired. I didn't even tick all the boxes on that somnolence test that people do. So since then, I have got a CPAP machine. It takes a bit to adjust to sleeping with it. I use a full face mask. For the first several months, I was finding it quite annoying because it was waking me up 4 or 5 times a night because of the air pressure. A lot of these devices, they ramp up the pressure during the night so that when you need it most, it's there. But the masks themselves, when they seal on your face, they can make all kinds of embarrassing toilet humor related noises when the air pressure ramps up. So I was getting woken up by this like 4 or 5 times a night. Ready? And that was pretty embarrassing because I sleep with a partner in my bed and I just didn't want him to think I was severely flatulent, which, look, he knows I'm not, but he's a good guy. It was waking me up and giving me the heavy annoyances, but I've since found this little thing. It's from a company called REMS, like R-E-M sleep, REM with a bunch of Z's after it, which is just kind of a little material shield that sits between the mask and your face. And for me, that's improved the seal out of sight. It's also a lot more comfortable because I was getting these permanent red marks all over my face from the mask itself. Like, they just wouldn't heal because of the pressure that was there for, what, 8 hours a night every night. So since making those very minor changes, I have found my sleep to be excellent and uninterrupted. And I don't know yet the full effects of using the CPAP machine. I'm told by the chemist that I can expect my blood pressure to lower and to lose some weight. But look, if those two things happen, that'll be a lovely bonus. For me, just being able to sleep and feeling like myself again after God knows how long, but at least since 2012, and it's now 2020, is excellent. I really can't recommend enough getting tested for sleep apnea. It's so, so easy. If you think that you might have it, even if you are like me and you're like, probably not, I don't meet those criteria. Look, you never know. And for me, as I said, my oxygen each night was getting down to 68%, or at least on the night it was tested, which is incredible. I've had pulmonary emboli in my lungs before, which didn't decrease my oxygen saturation at all, because I got pretty tough lungs and good lung capacity. But yeah, my airways were so obstructed during my sleep that the oxygen was getting down to really, really dangerous levels. So I just want to say, if you are having trouble with sleep, it might not be this might not be your solution, but give it a crack, because it's improved my life out of sight. My partner says that I'm a lot perkier and happier, which I feel a lot perkier and happier, let me tell you. I still get tired a bit, but I think it's going to be an adjustment for my body, because it's been at least 8 years of sleep deprivation and oxygen deprivation. So look, if I notice any significant changes in the future for the better, I'll let you know. But I just want to say, like, please look into this. It will improve your life out of sight if you do have sleep apnea, to get it treated. All right, thank you so, so much for listening. And let me tell you, this has made me into a much better human, and I also think a better lawyer, because it means that my brain is a lot more switched on. Like, I've always been able to do the job. I've always been able to push through, but God, it's nice not to feel like absolute crap while doing it. Thank you so much for listening to episode 10 of the Not Just a Lawyer podcast. As I said, I'm not just a lawyer. I am a person as well. I'm a person who needs sleep so that I don't die. And also, I am not a doctor. So take what I've said with a grain of salt. But if you think it could apply to you or someone you know, I think it's worth it. The test is super cheap from memory. I think it was about $100. And it has changed my life. And I think it's going to keep changing it over time. I listened to a podcast called Ologies recently. There was someone on there talking about sleep, and that led me to do a tiny bit more research. And, you know, your mileage may vary on how this analogy works for you, but it was said that having sleep apnea was like doing a stand-up massive public speaking event every single night in terms of the stress hormones that it releases into your body. Now, I love public speaking because I'm a weirdo, but maybe it would be the equivalent of running a hearing in front of a really terrifying magistrate every single night in your sleep. That's some drama that I can relate to. And even just thinking about it, my stress hormones are flying out. So I think that this is going to change my life. So anyway, just wanted to share. Your mileage may vary, but I think looking after your sleep is absolutely critical, whether you are a lawyer or just an excellent human listening to this podcast. So thank you very, very much. Bye.